everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Horror Realm Radio, the show that won't stay dead. I'm your host, Mike Exler, alongside, as always, Rich Delzato. Rich, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a nice evening for another Horror Realm Radio.
Yes, it is.
So, welcome back, everyone listening on podcast form. We were informed earlier today that now Alexa will respond to your request to. I don't have an Alexa, so I don't know what to say. What do you say with an Alexa, Rich?
Do you want me to try it out? Because I actually haven't tested it, but my Alexa's right next to me. Let me try this.
Oh, nice.
Alexa, Horror Realm Radio.
I don't know that.
So far, not so good. Let me try this. Alexa, otherworldly culture. So we'll have to look into this because my Alexa pretty much just melted down.
Yeah, didn't work. So just look for us the old-fashioned way by searching Horror Realm Radio or otherworldly culture. And check out all the other cool stuff there. So thank you again for joining us. And with that, I'm going to send it over to Rich. You got some news for us that I'll let you take away.
Yeah. Just a little bit of sad news this week, especially for people who've been supporting the convention for a long time and probably just in general for horror fans. Just found out that a couple days ago that Beverly Bonner from Basket Case passed away. She played Casey, for those who may not be familiar with the movie. I don't know, Mike, did you make it to the Horror Realm that we had the Basket Case reunion?
No, that was actually the only show that I didn't attend.
Okay. Well, we were honored, obviously, to have her and the other cast members and Frank Henelotter, the director, but we were very fortunate to have a friendship come out of the Beverly coming to the convention. She really hit it off with Sandy, one of the Horror Realm co-promoters. They became very good friends and kept in touch. And I was lucky enough to talk to her on Facebook from time to time. And, you know, when she would be at other shows that I happened to be attending, we'd have a meal or a drink together. And just, you know, you don't always get an opportunity to become true friends with these actors and actresses, but I feel like she truly was a friend and genuinely a nice person, creative, funny. She did stand-up comedy. She had a little Casey 30 years later based on her character from Basket Case that we hosted at the Hollywood Theater before she took it on the road. And just full of energy, kindness, and she will really be missed. I can't say this sincerely enough. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, indeed. So that was the first show, right?
That was the second show, actually. Yeah.
Oh, second show? Okay, so I didn't go to two shows.
You were still a baby.
So that was the second. I was a baby. It's weird.
Yes.
You call me that. But again, rest in peace and, you know, our condolences to friends and family, definitely. So moving on from that somber note, we're going to move on to a different somber note. And we're going to debut a new segment that we want to try out. And for people that have listened to anything that I've done in the past 8 years, know that I've been looking for a witch movie. Now you're going to say, there's a ton of witch movies. Yeah, I'm looking for a good one. Now, Rich, you brought up a good point. What do I consider a good witch movie? Now, I think I'm looking for a witch movie that the witches have the upper hand. They're powerful and they're pissed off because they're witches. Just give me a hard R witch movie where they are the, I don't know, would it be antagonist? Like the main villain. Yeah. You know, they're not the meek, mild ones. They're the ones that take, you know, the bull by the horns and get shit done. And if that has to be a bloodbath, it has to be a bloodbath. That's what I'm looking for. I just see a lot of witch movies like Coven took witches and just melded it with 90210. And that's fine. You know, there's definitely an audience for that. People dig it. I'm down for that. But I'm just looking for a different version that I have yet to find of a witch movie. Rich, what say you? What do you think? Is that which movie available?
I believe it is. I have my theories on how you're going to find it, and I think you're going to have to dig into the depths of eras that you normally don't dig into as often as
you
do one. I think it's fair to say you're more of a 70s until present kind of guy when you're digging for movies, and I think you might I think you might have to go back a little further. It's not going to be the hard R, but I think you'll find something there and be impressed with it matching up to your criteria. That's my guess.
Now, I think it's an opportunity lost. You know, we've seen a lot of females rise in the film ranks and to be at the proper place that they should be. You know, it started off with Barbara and all that, A Night of the Living Dead, and now, you know, it moved forward, and they're not just the catatonic Barbara from the original Night of the Living Dead anymore. And I just don't understand why someone hasn't stepped up and brought that part of the genre forward. I just don't understand why it's not there.
You know,
it seems like an easy one to me.
Something that surprises me, because I don't disagree with you. Now, this is a wizard as opposed to a witch, but I think it's close enough. Have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
Sadly, yes. So, why are we talking about Harry?
Tim Burton's wife, whatever her name is, she plays one of the bad guy wizardesses. Is that how you say?
Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, and, you know, essentially she's a witch, wizard slash witch.
Okay.
And she's balls to the wall in that, in a family-friendly movie. And she's, you know, she's pretty nasty. Like, when I see how well somebody like her can do that role, imagine putting her into the kind of witch movie you're talking about. There's no reason that hard R movie can't happen.
I'm still looking for it. So if you have any suggestions of a film that you think that I should watch, a witch movie that is that hard R, send it on over to the horror, or what is it? The Scary Room, HR@gmail.com.
I hope everybody says hocus pocus. I hope you get 100 emails saying hocus pocus. Everybody email Mike saying hocus pocus, please.
I'm probably going to watch Hocus Pocus, but it's not what I'm looking for. I already know that's not what I'm looking for. So I digress, and I'm going to talk about the film Season of the Witch, and it's not Halloween 3. It is the 19th. There's different accounts. Some say it was 72. Some say it was 73, depending on where you looked. It was George Romero's Season of the Witch. Now, I have the description that came up. Let me just get it real quick. A bored housewife's life spins out of control after she dabbles in the occult. So they got the bored part right. Now, let me preface this by saying I really admire George Romero. He's one of my favorite directors, but sometimes I have to admit that not all films are perfect by your favorite director, and this one just did not connect for me. I remember I watched it, I tried to watch it several years ago, and I was unable to make it through, and it happened again this week. I was just unable to make it through the film. It was just the pace was killing me. It wasn't interesting, and I had to shut it off. So this one is still left me for looking for that perfect witch movie. Now, Rich, I know you've seen this film. What are your thoughts of what I just said about it?
I don't blame you for turning it off. I have only gotten through the movie in its entirety one time. I love George Romero, as you know. For those who know me, I watch Night of the Living Dead weekly. So my love of Romero is up there with a lot of people. But it's not his best film. I see what he was going for. I appreciate it. But I probably turned the movie off four or five times before I made it through entirely. Fell asleep at least once. It's just, it's just really not a good movie.
No, it isn't. Sadly, I just did not dig it, and it sounds like you didn't either. So again, hopefully I'll get some recommendations, thescaryroomhr@gmail.com. You're going to get me some things, right, Rich, from the, yes, the bygone era of film?
I am going to get you some movies, and we will see. This could be for the next 10 years. We're trying to find this for you, but we'll find it.
Yeah, it's going to be a long journey. And maybe a new film will be made while the journey is going on.
There is a new craft movie out.
It'll coincide with the journey.
New craft movie.
Never know. They already have that.
I just said it. It's out. That's going to be the one. All you have to do is pay $5.99 on demand.
Like, I'll watch it. I mean, it's for the segment. I'll watch it. But I don't think it's what I'm looking for.
Probably not. No, but I am interested in seeing that because I like The Craft.
See, I wasn't a big fan of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too deeply in these films. So, speaking of looking deeply, let's look deeply into the holiday that is amongst us, and that is Thanksgiving. Now, we know of holiday crossover films in as far as Christmas goes. There's even been some Easter, obviously Leprechaun, I guess you can get with St. Patrick's Day. But there's just not a lot of films regarding Thanksgiving. Now, I know you're saying there are some, and we'll get to those in a minute. But, Rich, first I want to talk about just the notion, should there be holiday crossover films? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there should be. I think it lends itself to capturing the viewers' emotions maybe even more, and probably why Christmas is the most predominantly featured crossover holiday. You know, because we all have those feelings and memories and emotions that go with Christmas. So when we see it turned into a bloody disaster of scariness, I think that's how you further engage people. So yes, I do believe they should exist. How about you?
I do. I think there's a place for it. I have an unpopular opinion that I don't know the point of Silent Night, Deadly Night 1. If you watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, you get all of 1, but then you also get a better movie tacked onto the back. Is that an unpopular opinion?
Couldn't you make that argument about Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You could.
It just happens sometimes. I just roll with it.
It's true. It's true. Maybe I do look too deeply in, but it is what I do. So, do you think there should be more Thanksgiving horror films?
I think so, because as I racked my memory and did the old googly-googly, I realized how little Thanksgiving crossover there is. And, you know, it's probably only second to Christmas as far as memories and emotions regarding family and traditions and this and that. So I would think Thanksgiving, you could tie into a lot more of these movies. Plus it's great visually, you know, outdoors, the autumn, and indoors, what people do for their Thanksgiving, the table, food, all that. So I would think it would help with the visual on screen.
I always thought it was weird. Like, why not do Thanksgiving? Like, Halloween was last month, but now it gets real scary. You know what I mean? Something like that. You should write that.
Well, you know my latest
movie. You're the writer of us. I do.
I forget what it is already, but it was good.
Has something to do with zombies.
Yeah, now I remember it. That's a good one. We're going to write that.
It has potential. We just need a
brain.
A backer.
Oh, that.
Or a brain. One of the two. So I did look up a list of Thanksgiving movies. And there are ones, we'll talk about the obvious ones here in a second, but there are some that I didn't know where, I don't know if you remember the 2005 film Boogeyman.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie.
It was Barry Watson was in it. Emily something. But yeah, that was a Thanksgiving, I guess, film. The Vicious Kind. So you have that one. Something called Turkey Hollow that I've never heard of.
I never heard of that movie.
Doesn't look like a horror movie at all. Let me see. The Oath, I've never heard of. Christie, I've seen Christie, and that's actually very good. And 1987's Blood Rage. It seems like something that we had out of print DVD-wise.
You could be right. Yeah.
Oh, and I also forgot the last one that has here, Adam's Family Values.
We had enough.
And I'm not even lying.
We had enough talk.
It's right there. So obviously we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the obvious ones, and I'll start with the first that I think a lot of our listeners may know, Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead from Troma. What are your thoughts? What say you on this film, Rich?
One of the handful of movies I've ever walked out of a theater during while it was being played. So that probably
was Poultrygeist?
Yeah, it was showing at the Hollywood, the reopening of the Hollywood prior to us reopening it, that led us, all of us getting together saying this place has to stay open. They showed it. And just didn't, I know why people like those movies. I appreciate and respect that, but it's just not my kind of movie.
No, I completely agree. Much Troma films are.
And I respect Lloyd Kaufman more than most people because of his intelligence and his hard work, but it has led to movies that just aren't my taste.
Yeah, no, it's just something that's not, I'm not into. That goes to Thanksgiving. Have you seen that?
I have, and that one I wouldn't walk out of, but I also am kind of like, I don't need to see it again either. I don't know. Again, it's not really in my wheelhouse of the type of movies I like.
No, not at all. I remember I was on a show a while back, and that was a big thing. Thanksgiving was a big ongoing joke. And again, it's just, you have to, I think, have a like of that certain type of film, you know, to really appreciate it. And they skipped the sequel and they went right to Thanksgiving 3, which I never saw.
Yeah, I got a little box set that has two in it. Or not two, Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen the third one?
No, God, no.
Good choice, you know, like with your time.
What?
Good choice with your time to not watch it.
Exactly.
The last one that they mention, and this is literally the last film that they mention, is Pilgrim, and that's available on Hulu right now. So, have you seen it? Because I have not.
No. When did it come out?
2019. It's part of that Blumhouse deal where all the ones that don't make it to, like, you know, I guess Redbox or whatever, they just puke it onto Hulu and then you watch it there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to check that out.
Do you remember the trailer that Eli Roth did for Grindhouse? It was a Thanksgiving themed horror film.
Yep.
I think that was probably one of the better Thanksgiving horror films, and it was just a trailer.
I agree.
I think Eli Roth's a hack, so.
I agree that it was very good, but that goes for the trailers they did in that movie. I would have liked to have seen all of them become features.
Yeah, you're right. The trailers are really good.
Better than the movie, to be honest with you, or movies, however you want to view it.
Is that a movies with a Z or an
Both.
S?
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, that's really Thanksgiving horror in a nutshell. There's not a lot out there. So if you're a filmmaker, maybe you would want to dabble into this genre because it's pretty wide open. But there's one holiday that I don't think you're going to want to mess with, and that's 4th of July, because it has the best horror film attached to its to the holiday. That would be Uncle Sam. Don't you love that film?
I do love that film, and I'm sure some people thought you were going to say Jaws, but Uncle Sam is Uncle Sam is a fun movie.
Why would I say Jaws when there's Uncle Sam?
Well, I mean, why would you go for one of the top 10 films ever made when you could reference Uncle Sam?
It's true. It's true. But we are horror fans, so...
Jaws is horror?
It is. It's PG horror. I don't know how it's PG, but it's PG.
Yeah. Sitting here thinking about this conversation... Oh, sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, thinking of this conversation we're having, and it really is kind of crazy that there is not that standout, this is the Thanksgiving movie. I mean, when you think about all the holidays you referenced, and you didn't mention Valentine's Day and My Bloody Valentine, I can't believe there's not that at least one movie.
Yeah, no, other than, you know, like almost the parody films, there's just nothing out there, so.
Odd
realization. Very odd. So moving along with the Thanksgiving theme of the show, we want to look at some of the best dinner scenes in a horror film. So we reached out on Facebook, and some people answered, and we definitely appreciate everybody answering with what their favorite dinner scene from a horror film was. So Rich, what were the results of that one?
So we did a little different, as you mentioned. We just did Facebook comments instead of a survey this time. Didn't get as many people responding, so we'll probably go back to the survey next week. But those who did respond, some gave multiple answers, so we have quite a few to discuss, and I think some good ones, some that were obvious and some that I wouldn't have thought of. So I'll just kind of go down the list slowly so that you can chime in without me talking over you if you have any thoughts.
Okay.
Slow, like my brain. First one was Ravenous. Have you seen that?
Oh, shit. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Absolute sleeper film, man.
I agree. And the scene definitely, well, just top notch. So, but... The next one.
Yeah, no, the acting, yeah. All perfect. This great film.
The next one is one I would not have thought of that I should have, but after somebody bringing it up, it's definitely one of my top ones. Dead Alive.
Oh, man, Dead Alive is so good. I just watched that for Halloween.
Yeah. So that,
the rat monkey.
I love that. So...
it could also be said it has the best use of a lawnmower in a horror film.
No doubt. I agree with you. And there's actually quite a few lawnmowers in horror films, as we know.
There are, but yeah. None as good as that film.
I agree with you. Next one is one I have not seen. Dumplings?
I have not seen that. I believe that's an Asian film. Japanese, maybe?
It may be, I don't know. So we'll have to just pass on discussing it. Next one is a good movie, Audition.
Yes.
Yeah,
that is a good film. Another good dinner. Japanese film, I believe.
Here's one that I understand being put on the list, but I am not a fan of. But it's just because I am apparently not smart enough to appreciate this director. And that would be Eraserhead.
Oh. Yeah, man, I came to terms with a long time ago that Lynch just isn't for me, and I just stopped trying. So I have no comment on that. I don't understand Eraserhead, so I don't even remember a dinner scene in it. I'm sorry.
Now, as a horror fan, this is next one is going to be one of the most obvious, but I still think one of the most well done dinner scenes, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I don't think you're going to find a better one.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, after seeing a lot of documentaries and how it was the crazy heat and, you know, they were actually going like crazy and Marilyn Burns' performance like, I don't think you're going to get a better horror performance out of anybody than Marilyn Burns. And she just is unbelievable in that dinner scene. I can't talk enough about her performance in that entire film, but it really kicks into gear starting at that dinner scene. So yeah, that's an important scene in horror history, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. And a movie that nobody brought up dinner scene wise, but I think is obviously an homage or steals a little from Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the dinner scene at in House of a Thousand Corpses. There's no doubt in my mind it's influenced by TCM.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's a lot of that movie, I think, is influenced by TCM. But yeah, the dinner scene, definitely. But it's creepy. It's one of the creepier scenes, I think, in House of a Thousand Corpses. It's one that's kind of just raw and ugly and not flashy. You know, there's a lot of flash in that film. But that movie,
I agree.
That scene's just kind of raw.
You're right. It kind of actually slows them down for the first time, and you start to see inside the heads of how messed up those people are.
Yeah, and just I always like to think, like, what would my reaction be to a situation like that? And it probably would be running and then dying of a heart attack because I was running. But
just accept your fate as the next different. Fish boy, whatever the heck that became.
Yeah, that would definitely be me in that scenario.
Oh,
are those the are there other
ones? Yeah, there's plenty more. I'll start to go through them a little quicker, but the next one's a fun one and a great choice. Beetlejuice.
Oh, perfect.
Great dinner scene. Yeah.
All-time classic.
Another great one, Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the best. Next one, not...
It's garlic.
Next one, not a big fan of the movie, but it definitely belongs on the list. Greasy Strangler. Have you seen it?
I have not seen The Greasy Strangler.
We showed it at the Hollywood, believe it or not. Yeah.
Listen, I know a lot of people really like that film. It just doesn't really appeal to me, so I haven't checked it out, but that's just me. I don't know.
So here's the rest of them. I'll stop on a couple. Pan's Labyrinth. Would You Rather? Hannibal, pretty good one.
Ooh, excellent. Yeah. I like that one.
The Invitation. Santa Slay.
Never saw it.
Bill
Goldberg.
Yeah. Squirm from Jeff Lieberman. The Worms.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in a...
Yeah. That's a turn your stomach kind of dinner scene, in my opinion.
Huh.
And then
that's the
last one I think deserves a little discussion, and I would not have thought of this, and I haven't seen the movie for so long that I now need to revisit it. Legend with Tim Curry.
Oh. Yeah, correct. I would definitely consider that film a horror film. Yeah.
Do you recall the scene?
No.
I can't recall it either. But I'm glad somebody added it.
I definitely don't recall the scene. It's been a long time. We'll both have to revisit it.
So, awesome movie.
Now, do you have? Yeah, it's a great film. So that wraps up the ones online, that we got from Facebook online. Okay. Yeah. Do you have any that weren't talked about or weren't brought up?
House of the Thousand Corpses was the one that I was planning on bringing up, and it. Just which I already tied it into TCM, which I think is a good tie-in. How about you?
Yeah, I actually have three. There's a film on Netflix called We Are What We Are, and there's a dinner scene in there that is fucking disturbing, man. The movie's it's not bad. But this dinner scene it's rough to watch. So I highly suggest that just for that scene, actually. Another dinner scene that I thought we can mention was Salo.
Do you have to mention that? I would prefer you didn't.
I mean, but, I never know where to put that film. Is it a horror film? I mean, it's horrific, but I don't know if it's a horror film. I don't.
To me, it's a horror film because that would be worse for me to try to live through than Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, The Exorcist. I would rather give me all three of those before you put me through Salo.
I remember Ken liked a friend of ours. He said, I remember I posted something about Salo. This was a long time ago. And he said, that's actually a documentary filmed about the elites and how they work and how they work now. And I tend to sort of agree with him at this point after we know about the elites. So I guess it could be a horror film. If you haven't seen Salo, I mean, you can if you want. It's out there somewhere.
I was going to say it is a horror film because no other genre is going to take that movie on.
It's true. I don't even know where you would put it other than horror. I don't know. But I do have one last one for best dinner scene, and that is Troll 2. Where the kid, they won't listen to him because they want to eat all the stuff with the green slime all over it. So the only thing he can think of to make them not eat the food is to pee on it.
Yes.
And I remember seeing that as a kid and just loving it. And it still makes me laugh to this day.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't care. I'm 40 and I love it.
Oh, no, that's a great one. A word you don't use with Troll 2 very often.
No, man, that movie's no good, but I'll stand for that scene all day long because it's hilarious. I love it.
I agree. Definitely agree. Very good.
So this week we have bottom five.
Ooh, I love
it. We are sticking. It's a rare, not a rare occasion, but it's a special occasion when we bring out the bottom five. And why not keep with the Thanksgiving tradition, and we're going to go with bottom five worst side dishes on Thanksgiving.
Ooh, this was an easy one.
Ooh, this it was. I had many choices. So, all right, let's go with number five. Rich, what's your number five?
Carrots.
Why carrots? I hate them, but why you?
They're never a good side dish, and sometimes people put them onto the Thanksgiving table, and that should never happen.
I don't mind carrots in things, but just to grab a carrot and eat it, it's gross.
Don't even put it in anything.
It's like nuts in a brownie. Who wants that?
Nobody. Everybody. Otherwise, it's not a brownie.
It's not even true. Not even a true thing. So my number five is rolls or a biscuit. Like, why the fuck are you fucking with a roll or a biscuit when you have turkey, you have all this shit, and you're gonna stuff your shit with fucking carbs that are gonna fill you up with the quickness? You can eat a roll on a Saturday. It doesn't matter, man. I never got down with rolls or biscuits. Like, why am I eating that? Doesn't make sense.
I like them with my Thanksgiving dinner. I like the butter.
But you could eat more turkey or other things instead of the roll because that's going to fill you up.
I'm good with
wasted carbs.
I'm good with it.
All right. That's all that matters. All right. Number four. What's your number four?
All right. This one may not be a popular opinion. Green bean casserole.
That's crazy. That's my number four, too.
Nice. My reasoning, and I'd be curious to hear yours, I like green beans. I like the mushroom soup that gets mixed in. And I like the crunchy onion things that put on top. But I've never been at a Thanksgiving dinner where the green bean casserole isn't cold by the time you eat it. And the little onion things are no longer crisp. They're all soggy and nasty.
And do you usually have cheese in yours as well? Do you have any cheese in yours?
I don't know. I don't make the stuff. I just eat it.
So it's not that you don't like the dish. It's more that you don't like that it's cold.
It should not be a side dish at Thanksgiving because it never works. And that's my focus is Thanksgiving.
I can understand. But if you could eat that warm and right out of the oven, you would like it.
If the onion things were crispy.
Yes.
Yes.
For me, you take all those things separately. Like I dig on green beans and mushrooms, like you said, and those little onion straws, but something about putting them together, nothing about it tastes good to me. I don't like it. I don't want it. It's not a fan. I've had many different kinds. Many different ways, and all of them taste the same to me, and they just do not appeal to my palate.
That's fair.
So, all right, number three. I hope you don't have the same as me.
I don't know if this is a side dish. I consider it a side dish for this conversation, and this is probably going to be my one that's most unpopular with everybody else. Gravy.
Gravy?
Yeah, gravy.
Who doesn't like gravy?
I don't like gravy on my shit. I mean, my food.
What? Who? Everybody does. You make that little moat for the potatoes.
Ruins the potatoes. If the turkey.
Never had a little.
Go ahead.
The turkey's a little dry.
It shouldn't be that dry. You need to cook your turkey better.
I'm just saying, and even if it's moist, it adds a little je ne sais quoi to the meat.
No. Gravy is, it's to mask inferior cooking.
That doesn't even make sense. I've never heard anybody that doesn't like gravy.
Nope, I hate gravy.
Damn. I don't know how to recover from that.
I'm assuming it wasn't on your list.
No, not at all. Like, I didn't even think of saying, it's like, I don't like stuffing. Like, what? Okay, so you don't like gravy. That threw me off, I will say. So this is something, my number three is not cranberry sauce, like the stuff that you get out of the can. Like I'm kind of down with cranberry sauce. I don't mind that. It's a nice juxtaposition to the savory items that you're having. But I found out looking at different side dishes that there's some awful creation called cranberry relish.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I have. By the
looks
way,
we're like it came from Satan's ass.
Yeah, people put it on sandwiches. They make turkey fucking sandwiches. They put stuffing on it, gravy, and that damn cranberry relish. Yeah.
You know what I would do with that sandwich? I would throw it right in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
Because that's where it belongs.
Well, number two, by the way, was anything cranberry for me. So while we talk about your number three, we're talking about my number two. Cranberry is only good if it's a juice. So, beyond a juice, it's no good.
It's true. And how do they get it to stick in that can like that? Why is it in a gelatin form? Do they put gelatin in it? Do they add that?
I guess
it must. What does it look like?
I mean, which means it has to, at that point, actually be a meat dish. Because gelatin is bone marrow.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess it was to be able to offer something to the masses preserved. Because not everybody has fresh cranberries available to them. I guess that's how that started.
Yeah, I guess.
They should have just done away with cranberries totally.
Gross.
Yeah. Well, since my number two is
all right, so what's your number three?
My number.
Did we do your three?
Yeah, my number three was gravy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm still fucked up over gravy.
Number two.
I don't like turkey at Thanksgiving. Like, what the fuck? So, your number two was anything cranberry. My number two is something that doesn't even look appetizing ever, and that's creamed corn.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why you would ruin corn?
Yeah, like corn, butter, salt, game over. That's all you need. Or Mexican corn with some cheese and shit. That's good too, street corn.
Yeah.
But creamed,
yeah.
It looks awful and it tastes fucking like shit. So yeah, not understanding the creamed corn. So that's my number two.
I'm with you.
I can't even imagine what your number one is since gravy was on your list.
No, this one won't be surprising, I don't think. Ready?
Okay.
I hope you're excited.
I'm ready.
Sweet potatoes.
I'm excited.
Sweet potatoes.
That's my number one, too.
Nice. But I will tell
you. Those things are shitty shit.
I will tell you this, and this might upset you since we're in agreement on sweet potatoes. The reason that turkey is not on my list is because we're doing side dishes. You could throw the fucking turkey in the garbage, and I could still enjoy Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
I'm a carb freak. Give me my stuffing. Look at my stomach. Do you think proteins are my focus?
I mean, do you like white meat or dark meat on your turkey?
White.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving's where I don't put turkey on my plate at all.
That's weird. But okay, it's fine. You can do how you would like to. That's fine. This is America, baby.
But back to sweet potatoes. I'm sorry. I just thought you would enjoy the turkey-less dinner.
Thank you for that side. Yeah, that side note was nice that you're a complete psychopath. It doesn't like turkey. So yeah, sweet potatoes. Why do you hate them?
I find the taste to be repulsive, the color too close to diarrhea, and and the texture makes me think I am eating diarrhea.
Now, what do you think about like when they cook it like a burnt ass log and then they put like marshmallows and shit on top of it? That looks like terrible.
The worst thing, you took the worst thing on earth and made it somehow even worse.
Yeah, I'm not sure why people think sweet potatoes taste good, but it's a staple.
My grandma,
that's like one of the first side dishes that comes up.
My grandma was one of the best cooks you'll ever meet. I loved her Thanksgiving dinner, but damn it, she would shove that thing on the plate on the table and tell me to eat it, and I'd be like, it was a fight.
Yeah, no, I don't fuck with that. I like baked potatoes, but get the fuck out of here with them sweets.
Have you ever had a baked sweet potato?
No.
That's actually tolerable. Tolerable, not good. Tolerable.
No, I think if anything says sweet potato, I'm out. I don't even...
If you put enough butter and salt on it, it's not bad.
Then you might as well eat butter and salt and fucking throw the potato out the door.
I pretty much do that already.
How does a potato get sweet? Are they different things? Are they just different? I need this answered.
You can go figure it out when
I... You know the answer to this. The scaryroomhr@gmail.com. Tell me what's the difference between the... I guess Google could tell us, but that would be a fun email to get. Hey, jackass, this is the difference.
I would love to know.
So,
I don't know why you brought it up, but I need to know.
they're like cousins. That's what I'm saying. They have different genomes or something and biology. But so yeah, that was the bottom five side dishes, and Rich just doesn't like Thanksgiving dinner, so that's what that is.
Potatoes and stuffing and rolls. Give me my rolls.
Fuck them. Let me eat a bunch of bread. No. So that brings us to a time we usually do some HR updates and news at the top of the show, but we wanted to pay our respects to Beverly Bonner. So we got some announcements. We like announcements. And yes, we... What?
Go ahead. I'm just doing
visuals. Oh, I thought you were telling me to stop.
No, I'm just doing visuals.
Yes, we have two very special announcements. First off, we'll start off with the show next week, and that's the Monday after Thanksgiving, correct, Rich?
That is correct.
So that podcast, we will be joined by Miss Felissa Rose, star of the brand new Nun's Curse that you can check out on Amazon Prime, and of course, Sleepaway Camp. So we will be talking with her about all kinds of different topics, her appearance at Horror Realm, films, just whatever comes to mind, because she's always extremely fun to talk to. So look for that next week on Horror Realm Radio. And now for the second big announcement, I'm going to turn it over to Rich. Rich, what's coming down the pike?
I'm going to tell you in 1 minute, but since you called me a psychopath, I should explain. I don't like hot turkey. I like cold turkey.
Okay.
So you put it cold on a turkey. Sandwich, put it on a sandwich cold out of the refrigerator with some mayonnaise and tomato, and I'm good to go. I don't like hot turkey. So I'm not a psychopath.
So you don't like a hot turkey sandwich that they just put it on in between bread with the gravy all dripping down over it?
What was my number three?
Well, it's not Thanksgiving. I thought maybe like roast beef with gravy. Do you like that? You know, like,
I don't like gravy.
No, just no.
Yeah.
So weird. I don't like gravy. Okay.
So back to Horror Realm real quick. I am excited about Felissa. And this will be her third appearance at the Horror Realm convention, putting her in an elite group. She is now the second most visited guest to the Horror Realm convention. And that's due to her great interactions with fans and just awesome personality. So I can't wait for next week, but I have exciting news for another Horror Realm guest for next March. Another returning guest, I think one that people will be very excited about, and that is Danielle Harris from Halloween 4 and 5, Hatchet, and a ton of other good stuff. So even those damn emoticons. But I, you know, I think our generation, one of the best, I don't even know if you put her a screen queen, but just one of the best horror actresses. She's been in awesome stuff. Part of our generation, really.
Yeah, she's definitely synonymous with horror, and, you know, she's definitely stuck in the genre, and always great to talk to her. I only got to interview her once, and that was at Horror Realm. This will be her second time, correct?
This will be her second time, and we'll have to figure out what kind of interview you're doing, because unintentionally, I've kind of created a Hatchet reunion. All four guests that we've announced so far have a Hatchet timeline in their movie career. Tiffany, true. Melissa, Danielle, and Dave Sheridan.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah, we'll have to talk and see what would be the best.
Yeah.
For that. So yeah, it's great to have Danielle Harris on the docket for that show. And Rich, what are the dates of that show again?
March. I think March 5th to the 7th, 2021.
Yes.
You're talking.
Sounds great.
March 5th to the 7th, 2021 at the Crown Plaza South in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. 9-0. We That's could right. be 10-0.
Super Bowl, baby.
But I digress. So thank you again, everybody, for listening to this special little Thanksgiving episode. When will we have the next survey up?
Before they hear this episode.
Okay.
Technically, before they hear this next episode, but every Friday I'm putting up a new survey.
Okay, every Friday we will have the survey up, so check out Horror Realm on Facebook, and you'll be able to check out the Survey Monkey. I think we have a pretty cool one this week, so hopefully you all are enjoying that one. So again, thank you all for joining us. Please email us at thescaryroomhr@gmail.com with any suggestions for our witch movie, anything you'd like to hear us talk about, anything for the bottom five, or for a poll question. Send them on in, and we'll take a look and get back to you. Again, go check... What?
And explain to us what a potato and sweet potato difference is.
Please, we need to know, why are they both called potato but taste so different, and one's gross and one's amazing? Doesn't make any sense. So go to horrorrealmcon.com. That'll be all your latest information on Horror Realm. Also, if you can do me, Adam, and Tim a favor and go to otherworldlyculture.com and check out all of our content over there, from movie reviews to Amazon lists to panels to shows to just all kinds of different things over there. Go give us a check out over there and maybe a like on Facebook as well. So again, we thank you. We look forward to Felissa next week. Again, Danielle Harris has been added to the lineup. And if you're listening to this, you are getting this information first before the rest of the internets. So again, that's Danielle Harris. Again, thank you for joining us. Rich, I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you, the listeners, everybody. I hope it's safe, healthy. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
So we'll see you next time here on Horror Realm Radio, the show that won't stay dead.